Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
FanDuel's got an offer you don't want to miss this NFL season. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season is here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Our YouTube feed is 94WIP. Check it out there. As we look forward and get ready to week 7 in the National Football League. Sunday, Eagles at the Vikings. Eagles a 2.5-point favorite over us. FanDuel feels like a very weird and challenging game this weekend in Minnesota, loud stadium. Minnesota off a bye. Brian Flores. Now the silver lining for the Eagles with all their issues right now is that the Vikings quarterback situation's in flux. It's McCarthy coming back. He's back at practice, but not full. Can Wentz go and last the full game with the left shoulder injury? I actually think their third stringer, Max Brosmer, might factor into this football game, but we'll figure that out when we get to Sunday. The real question for the Eagles is, among other things, but defensively, where they're getting pressure, who the edge guys are, now that Za'Darius Smith up and retired a few days ago. And there's a lot of talk out there right now that the Philadelphia Eagles should go after Trey Hendrickson. And you guys know I wanted Trey Hendrickson in the offseason. I thought the Eagles should have acquired Trey Hendrickson and given him the patchwork deal to add a little money to his contract that the Cincinnati Bengals ultimately just did before the season started to get him back on the field. Now, Cincinnati, as we sit here this morning, is at 2-4. They're heading into a Thursday night game tomorrow night at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's actually a game I think they can win. I think the Bengals can win that football game and kind of save their season a little bit here. So I'm not willing at this point. I don't think the Bengals are willing at this point to just write this season off. They just traded for Flacco a few days ago with the express interest in saving their season. But there's going to be noise out there next few weeks that the Bengals aren't really for real, that the Bengals can't really hold the fort, even in a kind of weak AFC at the bottom, and that they're going to end up being sellers. And they certainly could be if things go wrong way tomorrow night and the following game. You know, if they find themselves at 2-6, 2-7 around the trade deadline, they're going to have to be proactive and be smart about it and realize, you know, their best chance is to accumulate assets to put around Joe Burrow in future seasons and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and not to double down on the season. So the Trey Hendrickson conversation is going to be a big one in the NFL for the next few weeks. The Eagles are going to be connected. It makes sense in a million different ways. He is an excellent football player. He's been a highly productive football player. Now, as we speak this moment, he's got a back injury. I'm not sure what that means for his status tomorrow night. He could play less. He could not play on a short week. We'll see. Not a young player, 30 years old, contract year again for him. So there's a lot of elements that go into will he play tomorrow night. But assuming this back issue isn't a long-term thing, Hendrickson is going to be a big name at the deadline. And while I love the player, and while I know the Eagles have an enormous need right now off the edge, I got a few thoughts right now on why today I'm not interested. I'm not as interested in surrendering, let's say, next year's second round pick to go get Hendrickson as I would have been before the season. Let's start here. Number one, cost versus production. The Eagles, you know, if the Eagles could have traded for Trey Hendrickson in the summer and given up a two, they could have had him for 17 football games. Now we're starting to trend towards, you know, 10, 9, 8 football games. So I'm getting him, and that's not including the postseason. We'll get to that. But I'm getting him for, you know, almost half of what I thought I was going to get him for. You know, when I look at contracts and players and acquisition costs, you know, it's team control. And how many games do I get out of this football player if all goes right, right? If he's fully healthy, if we can keep him on the football field. And when you think about a second-round pick in the NFL or a third-round pick, anybody, really anyone beyond a first-round pick. And Trey Hendrickson, you know, in his walk year is not garnering a first-round pick. First of all, I don't think he would even if he was, you know, under long-term deal. But he's not. Not now. So let's just say a second or third-round pick for Trey Hendrickson. You know, that player is under team control for 4 years. That's 17 times four. That's 68 football games as I map out my roster for 4 years that player is available to me too. And we're talking about now as the clock ticks and another week goes by. He's not going to be traded today and play for the Eagles this week. So this will be the Eagles' seventh game. They'll have 10 games to go. Best case scenario, as we have this conversation, the Eagles trade for Trey Hendrickson Monday morning. He's on the field next Sunday against the Giants, and the Eagles get 10 football games out of him. So I'm trading a pick, a second or third round pick, and that's 68 games versus 10. That's a big difference to me. Now, you say, Joe, you were willing to do it in the summer. That's only 17. Is there really a difference in the scale of 68 games versus 10 or 17? Well, some things have changed. Number one, yes, there is. It is a big deal. Okay? Every half season matters a lot. Every seven games matters a lot. It's pro football where 17 equals one full season. So it matters. Second part of this is I had higher expectations for the Eagles when the year started than I do right now. This doesn't look like a great football team. It looks like an exceedingly mediocre football team. If you look at their point differential, they look more like a 3-3 football team than they do a 4-2, 5-1, 6-0 kind of football team. The metrics are poor in every way on the offensive side of the football. And I'm not sure with this combination of head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback, O-line, if they can get this thing together in the middle of a season. So I already have to start thinking about, is this team worth investing in? And I know Howie Roseman's DNA is to not give up on a champion, never underestimate the heart of a champion, as I steal a line from Rudy Tomjanovich, the former Houston Rockets head coach. So, and look, in 2018, it was choppy. 2018, they were down in October, early November. And Howie Roseman traded for Golden Tate to try to resuscitate things, try to help Doug Peterson and help the team get back to where they wanted them to be. It never really took off. It didn't. They were able to sneak in the playoffs at the end because of good fortune in the NFC and Nick Foles. And right now, I don't think they have either of those things that are going to be on their side. Doesn't mean they're not going to make the playoffs, but the magic of the end of 2018 really made us kind of forget that Howie invested a decent amount with the Golden Tate trade, which is very similar to the Hendrickson. Tate was a very high-level receiver. I think he went for a three in his walk year, and it just didn't work. Now he had a big catch in Chicago in a playoff game to help them win a playoff game and get to the divisional round. But ultimately, that team, the way they were playing that season, the issues they had in every way, shape, and form wasn't worth investing in. And Howie invested in them, and he tried. And I think there is something to not giving up on a team that had won a championship the year before. And I could see Howie doing the same thing now. But if it's up to me today, I want to hold on to that draft pick. I think the Eagles have a very bright future, even if this is more of a 9-8 kind of season, a 10-7 kind of year rather than a 14-win year, which right now, based on the team I'm watching, based on the issues they have, they look way more like that than they do a dominant special football team.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
So is this the kind of team to invest in? Right now, it doesn't feel like it to me with all the issues they have, injuries on top of it. The second thing to kind of think about when it comes to trading something real for Trey Hendrickson and a half a year of Trey Hendrickson is what they have internally, and is it worth blocking and halting that progress? So let's go to the edge group. Right now, with the loss of Za'Darius Smith, it's among the thinnest and worst in the NFL. And it's why it's very hard for me to have great confidence they're going to go win a road game against a well-coached football team on Sunday against the Vikings. Because they're going in there with one hand tied behind their back at the edge rush position. Nolan Smith's on the injured reserve. Azeez Ojulari has been a whole bunch of nothing. Josh Uche's got wonderful pass rush win rate, but I think at this stage he can only play so many snaps, and he's not actually finishing at the quarterback. So that's a problem. Patrick Johnson is a special teamer that has to masquerade around as a real edge when the Eagles are at their, you know, or in a tough spot, which is where they're at right now. So, and Jalik Sun, of course, second-year player who just has not taken a jump. I feel like he is too often swallowed up within the play, and I think he's more of a backup player, a part-time player, than he is a standout edge. Now, this could be different, and it could feel totally different if Nolan Smith was playing, was healthy, number one, playing, and number two, playing at the level he did down the stretch last year where he became one of the breakout players in the National Football League last season. Those things aren't happening. But as I kind of project this forward, Nolan Smith should come back from the IR, let's say early November. Let's say he's on that field November, what is that, 10th, Monday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers. It's going to be a huge game, especially if the Eagles only muster 1-1 in the next couple weeks. And they're 5-3 when they go to Green Bay. And right now, that's where I project them to be. I think they're going to drop this game to Minnesota, and I think they'll come back and they will rebound after a 3-game losing streak and beat the brakes off the Giants next week here in Philadelphia and kind of return the favor for what just happened at MetLife. So I think 5-3 into the bye, and then they go to Green Bay and they have Detroit 6 days later at home on a Sunday night. Really, that could determine the season. If the Eagles win both those games, they're 7-3, and they're probably right back atop the NFC, and all is right with the world post-bye. If they split those games, if they're 6-4, still with a road game at Los Angeles Chargers, two Washington games, and at Buffalo. So you could kind of paint the picture there where 11-6 at best, because they have four losses. They're probably going to split those four games. It could be a 10-7 kind of year, and that's with wins everywhere else at Dallas, home Bears, home Raiders. Okay, so that's – and if they – obviously they drop both and they went to 5-5, we're talking about a season that they're going to – they might miss the postseason, or they're going to have to really fight and claw to make it. So that's what I think is going to happen in the next month and where we're going to be around the trade deadline. But in that time, Nolan Smith should come back. And I think you got to let him thrive and let him be the guy and see if he can stay healthy and show out and get all the snaps on one edge rush. And the other reason why I'm not into the Trey Hendrickson thing right now, aside from everything we've discussed here, is they may have an internal solution here. They may have their guy for the future of the position right here in front of us. I have liked the way Jihad Campbell has played at inside linebacker. He's been a playmaker. He has made stops against the run. He has been active against the pass. He has been asked as a blitzer to come out and play. He has been in coverage. The interception on Baker Mayfield, who might be the NFL MVP right now, the interception of Baker in Tampa to seal that game was awesome. The forced fumble on Bucky Irving, awesome. He's made some huge plays at inside linebacker, but
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, the opportunity is here the next few weeks until Nolan Smith gets back with this makeshift group of edge that we've discussed to give him some snaps on the outside. I remember the night he was drafted, we were having debates about what he is, what he will become. And Elliot Shore Parks was very strong that he believes he's an edge and he will be an edge and that the Eagles will convert him to edge. Now, Vic Fangio has been tepid on this, a little noncommittal about what he's going to do right now. But N'Kobe Dean came back last week. If N'Kobe Dean is back, and I'm not quite ready to say ensure he's himself from last year, it was a severe injury, and it's only going to be a second game back this week. But if N'Kobe is working his way back towards the Eagles' trust, Vic's trust, and the ability to be the number two inside linebacker next to Zach Bond the way he was last year, then Jahad Campbell absolutely should be given the opportunity to rush off the edge. Physically, he looks like that guy. Physically, he looks like Micah Parsons. And Ross Tucker, who was on our show yesterday, on the Midday Show, compared what, like the trajectory as a prospect of Jahad Campbell to the trajectory of a prospect of Micah Parsons. Edge when they were young, coming out of high school, and they were moved to help their football team in college football on the inside. Mike, obviously, at Penn State, and Jahad at Alabama. And then they came into the NFL as those inside linebackers. But very quickly, the Cowboys realized, hey, if we put Mike on the edge, he's unblockable. That's more valuable. Let's put him there full time. And look what Micah Parsons has become, one of the truly great players in the sport. And one I would have, and the Eagles would have, obviously, paid very handsomely for in a trade before the season. But when you add it all together, and you think about Campbell and that trajectory, instead of trading a 2 or a 3 for Trey Henderson, why don't we just kind of roll into November as the season's going to be in its crucible for the Eagles and give Nolan Smith and Jahad Campbell a chance to be the outside edge rushers? If it hits, you may have your tandem that's going to lead to a Super Bowl next year and be cost-controlled next year. And those second-round picks, as we know around here, or third-round picks, they become real players. Milton Williams, Cooper DeJean, I mean, we can go on and on and on. Of Harry Rose with second and third round picks over the years that have helped them win a lot of football games. So I love Trey Henderson. Before the season, I wanted him. If he was dropped off on the doorstep tomorrow for a fourth round pick, I sign off. But if it costs her 2 or 3 and we're in a bidding war with the 49ers or, you know, any other slew of contenders right now, no, I'm going to pass. I'm going to move off it and I'm going to keep the picks I have. I'm going to let the young guys play. I'm going to see what Nolan has when he gets back, see what Jahad has. As of today, I'm out on trading for Trey Henderson. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Our YouTube feed is 94WIP. Check it out there.
Doug. Limo and I always tell you to customize your car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. But now, we want you to feel it. Cue the emu music, Limo.
Save yourself money today. Increase your wealth. Customize and save, we say.
That may have been too much feeling.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.